Scooter, what do you got tonight on the inner side?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. It's about gun control.
No way.
But, you know, I would like to add this to the discussion about crazy people buying guns in America. I have proudly never owned any kind of gun that would be useful for killing an animal at all. All street sweepers. Never bought one from a store, and I'm crazy as hell. So,
Scooter is the poster
all
child.
Soft shotguns.
Right, he's the poster child.
I had a Mac 10.
Right, Scooter's the poster child is the why we need gun control.
That's it. I am. And I didn't get rid of them until I had kids.
There you go.
So, you know, if you have kids running around, get rid of them.
All right, up next is the inner side.
There we go. The soothing tones of Cyber Zen Sound Engine. Anyway, I wanted to tailgate onto the last show just to bring something up before I got started. A new podcast with my friend Sean Ewald up in New York. It's called Skeptiles, a skeptics broadcast. We thought we'd get together because a lot of people have a lot of really dumb ideas out there. And Sean, like myself, is somebody who enjoys making fun of things like that. The reason that I brought it up was that we did about 40 minutes on the Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, guns, and the history of how well people have done using guns against governments and revolutions in recorded modern history with modern weapons since the revolution. So, like, the Whiskey Rebellion didn't turn out too well. So I thought I'd make you aware of that. It's at skeptiles.com. That's S-K-E-P-T-I-L-E-S. Skeptiles, like skeptic and, you know, reptiles. Skeptiles.com, and it's on iTunes and Stitcher and all those web audio things. Let me get back to the regular show that I had planned. I just wanted to plug that before I got started there, because we're having a lot of fun with it. We did our third show and it's starting to sound pretty good. So, welcome to the Inner Side radio program. Not too much to talk about this week. Only two things happened. We learned from candidate Mittens that small business owners use no public resources in America. They do everything with no help from any of us. They hike through the woods to work every day, poop in the backyard, catch all their water in rain barrels. Kind of sounds like a bunch of hippies. Well, they don't use trucks or public highways to transport goods. It's all dog sleds and parachutes, and no wonder they're doing so bad. Doesn't sound like a very good business model. And if they catch fire, the employees form bucket brigades. If they get robbed, they exercise their precious Second Amendment rights. Oh, which reminds me, the new Batman movie came out this week. Looking forward to checking that out, but waiting for ammunition to go on sale. Oh! Speaking of terrible comedy, check out this bit from Barack Obama at Yuck Yuck's open mic press conference.
I, like most Americans, believe that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual the right to bear arms. I think we recognize the traditions of gun ownership that passed on from generation to generation, that hunting and shooting are part of a cherished national heritage. But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
AK-47? Where the hell did that come from? You can't buy an AK-47 in the United States. You can get a AK-47S semi, but automatic weapons have nothing to do with gun control. They're already illegal. Why bring up an AK-47? Well, because it's a filthy communist assault rifle used by Arabs, terrorists, and everybody who hates our freedom.
7. The automatic Kalashnikov, hence the name AK-47. As you may know, if you're looking for an inexpensive weapon and cheap ammo, Eastern Bloc firepower is the way to go. Buy it by the box, case, or truckload at any Houston gun show for pennies on the ruble. The most plentiful and easiest to acquire round in the world. The AK series of weapons are believed to number over 90 million. Just look at all those gleaming rifles rolling off the line. Manufactured under license from the Soviet Union, these rifles have been mass-produced in Bulgaria, East Germany, Hungary, Romania, Yugoslavia, China, North Korea, Egypt, Finland, Iraq, and others. The AK is the only firearm that was ever depicted on a national flag. The Mozambique flag features a distinctive silhouette of the Kalashnikov rifle.
Unlike the over-the-counter AR-15 used in the Colorado shooting, the U.S. president cannot besmirch the reputation of a fine American-made weapon like the AR-15, which is the legal version of the M-16. The M-16, which kinda almost brought liberty to Vietnam, continues to bring freedom and democracy to God's children's and liberates natural resources all over the underdeveloped world. The M16 is what our American warriors, thank you for your service, used to shoot terrorists so they could take their AK-47s, which are much more reliable in rugged conditions. You think I'm nitpicking. AK-47, AR-15, that's an honest mistake. Oh, ye of little knowledge of gun control in America. It's not an honest mistake. I heard that bait and switch first on Fox News while the bodies were still warm in Colorado. There are no honest mistakes on Fox News or carefully worded presidential speeches on gun control. So let us all rewind all the way back to 1994 and the ridiculous assault weapons ban. First of all, understand, the NRA has deteriorated into nothing more than a politicized trade organization for American gun manufacturers, domestic markets. The assault weapons ban eliminated foreign competition from Uzi, the Swedish Tech-9, AK-47, and other semi-automatic versions of military weapons. Colt already had a version of the AR-15 that folded the pistol grip back into the stock, changed the name, dodged the ban, and cornered the market. Now that assault weapons ban expired in 2004, but if you're gonna bring it back, thou shalt not mention the sacred AR-15. Just keep saying AK-47. And God bless America. By the way, if you're confused about whether guns kill people, or people kill people, or bullets kill people, in Colorado, it was the 100-round clip in a high-velocity, over-the-counter, American-made assault rifle that made all the difference.
We should do everything possible to prevent criminals and fugitives from purchasing weapons.
Not applicable to the Colorado shooting at all.
We should check someone's criminal record before they can check out a gun cell.
It was a whacked-out college nerd.
That a mentally unbalanced individual should not be able to get his hands on a gun so easily.
Including everybody and nobody and whatever.
So I'm going to continue to work with members of both parties. And with religious groups, and with civic organizations.
Because it's been working so well for you.
To arrive at a consensus around violence reduction.
Translation, America, you're on your own.
In America, you get food to eat. Won't have to run through the jungle and scuff up your feet. You just sing about Jesus and drink wine all day. It's great to be an American. Ain't no lion or tiger, ain't no mama snake. Just a sweet watermelon in the buckwheat cake. Everybody is as happy as a man can be. Climb aboard, little warp, sail away with me. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean into Charleston Bay. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean into Charleston Bay. Home and his family. You'd be as happy as a monkey in a monkey tree. You're all gonna be an American. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean in the Charleston. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean in the Charleston Bay.
As I mentioned at the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour, isn't it? Was that if you'd like to hear some more long discussion on the Bill of Rights, guns, modern guns compared to old guns, 50-round clips compared to muskets, I had a pretty long discussion with my friend Sean Ewald on our new podcast, Skeptiles, at S-K-E-P-T-I-L-E-S, skeptiles.com. You can check it out on any of that's Stitcher. You can go to the website. And I think you'll like it. Coming up next, we have our good friend Mike Fader, friend of the show, from his program, The Turning Point, on Progressive Radio Network. They're at progressiveradionetwork.com. So check a little Mike Fader. Going to put it in your ear right now.
A lot of these crazy, what appear to be senseless crimes, and I suppose they are, unless you try to, you can make sense out of them, occur in places that are wide open and vast and lonely. Like, for instance, a lot of the people who call me who are gun types, NRA types, and explain to me why they need guns live in South Dakota. I get calls from people in South Dakota. People from Texas, people from places where there hardly is anybody, where there's nothing but them and sky and rock and plane. It's scary out there. And having something in your hand that can go boom helps you feel like a little bit more like you're alive, right? And I've had that experience. I've shot guns myself, too. So this is what happens. Now, one time, this is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and I suppose if you Google this, you can Google anything, right? Go on the Internet. There was a girl, and I think somebody, some rock band made a song out of this. There was a girl who lived out west, and I believe it was out west, or it was in the Midwest someplace. And she was deranged and depressed, and I think one morning she took it upon herself to shoot some little kids in an elementary school. And they asked her, the first thing the cops said, why did you do that? And she says, I hate Mondays. I hate Mondays. And you look at this guy, and then they're gonna do the same thing they do with this guy, what they do with every guy. You know, the lone gunman, as if he's the only, like he's an isolated freak in the world, right? How many lone gunmen do we have to have in the United States of America before we see that the whole country is a lone gunman in the world? Right? And that the whole world is a theater and we're shooting it up all the time and killing people we don't even know. How many times is there going to be a lone gunman? This is a way that people have of rationalizing and excusing the sickness, the illness at the core of the American soul. I remember reading in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It happens more often now because there's so many more guns available. Thanks, by the way, in part, to the United States of America, which sells more weapons and has for the last 20, 30 years sold more weapons than any other group of countries even put together. We sell most of the stuff in the world that kills other people and cripples other people. We have propped up every vicious, psychopathic dictator in the world, except for the ones that Russia owns or China owns. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And we ship out more guns and rockets and jet planes and ammunition and missiles to the world than any other country. Our war budget in the United States is, in fact, more than the total of the war budgets of all the rest of the countries in the world combined. True fact. We spent $2 trillion in the last 10 years, $2 trillion on Iraq and Afghanistan. Murdering people and having no business to be there in the first place, right? And we have killed hundreds of thousands of people. We have killed hundreds of thousands of people. We continue to do it all the time. While I'm sitting here, the President of the United States, who has a kill list, I'm sure you all read about that, the President of the United States has a kill list. He has a meeting with his national security advisors, secure, I love the words they use, right? The Defense Department. If I walk down the street with an axe and I hit somebody over the head and they come to my apartment afterwards and they look in and I try to kill four people with an axe and they look in my apartment and I've got 26 axes and 16 knives, maybe a few guns, a couple of spears, right? They manage to ask me and I'm sane enough, I'll say, this is for self-defense. Half the people that called my show the other night on Sirius said, guns are for self-defense. And I said, so a semi-automatic military weapon is for self-defense? That wouldn't that be for self-defense against a horde of Vikings off a Capital One commercial? Or zombies, you know, 28 of them coming on your farmhouse or down the street? You can buy an AR-15, which is the assault weapon that this man was using to shoot these people. And you could, it's not so difficult to convert it into an automatic weapon, right? So, I'm getting calls from people all over the place. Now, why do people have guns? Why do people have guns or why do people need guns? I can understand if you live, and this is again, if you live way out in the boondocks, away from people, right? And, the nearest law is what, 30 minutes away, an hour away? There's nobody to protect you. You have to protect you. You have to look for your own protection. I can understand a gun for self-defense. Remember in the 50s when I was growing up, the United States had basically just successfully helped win World War II. We beat the bad guys. And how do we do that? We beat the Nazis and we beat what we used to call the Japs, you know. We beat the bad guys. We did. We beat the fascists along with the Russians and the British, but we don't remember that sometimes. But we beat them. And how do we beat them? We killed them. We shot them to death. That's how we beat them, because they were mad dogs, and the only way you can get rid of them is by killing them. You can't put them in a special little trap and say, now behave. You know, you have to shoot them if they're out of control. So we killed them. And a lot of the guys in my neighborhood, they were heroes to us. Most of the men in my neighborhood were in the service, and a lot of them were in combat. They were in the Pacific, or they were in Europe, and they were in combat. They had scars to prove it. And once a year on July 4th, when all kinds of fireworks were going off, and serious fireworks, because in those days they weren't that illegal, right? And across the street from me, for instance, lived Mr. Nelson, the cop. He was an Irish guy who was a cop. And he had a gun because he was a cop. And comes July 4th, Mr. Nelson, in the grand tradition of America, had confiscated illegal fireworks from people on his beat in Brooklyn and brought them all home so we could use them in our neighborhood. So, God bless America. Meanwhile, Mr. Nelson had a gun. So they set off fireworks in my neighborhood, which was like, I suppose, World War II. There were things being set off in my neighborhood that could blow a car 10 feet high in the air, right? And now they're all very much illegal. So the idea of shooting bad guys with guns was a big thing then, because that's how we just won a war and saved the world. So it was okay to do it. It was legitimate. The other side of that was the psychotic part of America, which was we played cowboys and Indians. And when we were little, we had no idea what that meant because they never taught us that in school. It had to be until we had to wait till we got to college to find out that we had committed genocide and mass murdered men, women, and children, grown cavalry soldiers like Custer and other people in the 7th Cavalry out west, rode into Indian villages and shot everybody dead, like Me Lai, right? That's not a new thing for Americans to do. Custer, rode into a camp and they killed, I don't know what it was, 128 men, women, and children. They shot babies. They shot mothers. They shot children, right? The 7th Cavalry, the people who were in the Army, who stayed in the Army after the Civil War, were a little suspect to begin with. The real hard cases stayed in the cavalry. And the losers and the real hard cases and the real drunks went into the 7th Cavalry and they sent them out west to kill the Indians. They needed people, you know, who were the real murderers, and that's what they got from the 7th Cavalry. And they have their neat little mustaches, and they're rescuing people from the savages. The savages were us, right? And now in the world, the savages are still us. Gunsmoke on TV, The Rifleman, there was no end to these shows, you know? It was astounding. So we grew up on this stuff. And you want to see the best movie about this is Born on the 4th of July, made from the book by Ron Kovic. Born on the 4th of July is about a kid who grew up the way I'm talking about, who believed in the greatness and the wonder of America and how we saved the world from fascism. And there's Vietnam, and they sell you this war. These reprehensible sons of bitches sold this war as a war against communist invaders when it was a war against a bunch of peasants. But they were a big danger to us, just like the Iraqis, just like the Afghans, right? And all the saps and the suckers joined the army. And I know people who lost their minds and lost their lives over in Vietnam who joined because their parents, a lot of the men had been in World War, had combat in World War II. You should go over there, son. America's in danger. Come on, all you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Who cares? But it's not the same thing. We are the Nazis now. We are the fascists now. I get accused the other day of using left-wing hyperbole. You know what? Sometimes words actually do fit the occasion. We are them now. We're the Death Star. We're not the Jedis now. But you know, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. So meanwhile, we grew up with all this stuff. And here's where I understand self-defense. One night, I'm in my brownstone out in Brooklyn, and I'm sleeping on the ground floor, actually the basement floor. And next to my bed is one of my numerous guns. It was a Saturday night special, a fake pearl-handled automatic .22. And I hear noises, 2 in the morning, they wake me up, and standing no more than 6 feet away from me, I'm looking at a guy with a tire iron in his hand, and he's looking at me 5 feet away, 6 feet away, not that far, one jump, one lunge, right? And he says, and this is typical of criminals, believe me, I worked in a probation department for years, he says, does Joe live here? Am I late for the dance? You know, they always say something stupid because you know what? Criminals are generally stupid. They're usually morons, criminals, right? And which is why often that they can't use it, they can't get a day job. So meanwhile, this guy's standing in the hallway. He's got a tire iron in his hand. I have the gun in my hand. I hold it up. I point it at his head. I pull the hammer back on it. And I said, you get out of here right now or I'm going to shoot you in the head. They looked at me, and they ran, and he threw the tire iron down, which I kept for years afterwards, and they ran out of the building. That gun, I believe, may have saved my life. I understand self-defense. Do I understand hunting? I could say glibly like a left-wing guy, you know, there's supermarkets around. Why don't you go to the supermarket? You don't have to shoot an animal. Well, you know what? Maybe because you live in a place where you were brought up to do it for generations, and maybe you want something fresh instead of something that's already been, like, you know, injected with 32 chemicals over a period of 2 months, and then you're going to eat it. So you want to go out and... But I doubt whether most hunters are doing this for organic purposes, right? But if you ever held a gun in your hand, and you shoot at something that's very far away from you, and it goes bang! Like that, and the gun jumps up, and you feel it all the way through your body. You could feel like God when you do that. You shoot something, and you're far away from it, and it gets blown to bits, or it gets knocked down. There's a feeling of primitive power in that, which is indescribable. But I grew out of that. I grew out of that. When you get older, and when you actually become, and of course, it makes you feel like a man. That's what a man does, you know? But when you get older, you start to understand that that's not what it means to be a man at all. But in America, most people who appear to be grown men are not. They're actually teenagers. But now we move on to other things. You get calls from people saying, we have a right, the Second Amendment. Oh, please put me to sleep. The Second Amendment? You know what? The Second Amendment guarantees our right to carry arms. Adult grown people have to draw a line someplace. You can't be extreme in anything, or you can't get along in the world. You can't have everything be the way that you imagine it should be or the way you want it to be. So somewhere you draw the line. So if the Second Amendment gives you every right to carry a weapon to protect yourself from the militia and the army, by the way, as a leftist and somebody who's involved, like, you know, who's been involved with this Occupy movement, you see what the cops are doing, and you see what the army is getting ready to do in this country. There may be something to the idea that we need a militia or we need to be armed. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, when the cops are out of control and they're violating all your constitutional rights and they're armed, you know, and you know you don't have a chance to get them, but at least you can do something, right? So I'm just throwing that out. But basically, you got to draw a line someplace. There's this kind of crazy American dissociation. People all over the world are killing people all the time. Just pick up the newspaper. But they're killing people for some bizarre reason. They're killing people because they're in the wrong tribe, or they believe the wrong religion, or they're killing people for money or for power. But it's this country where people kill people. And the only other thing I can think of is the insane compartmentalization that went on with Nazis. The prison camp guards and the commandants of prison camps would murder thousands of people a day and then go home to the wife and kids. And what do we have in this country? A guy sits in Nevada. He drives to work at 9 in the morning from his little house with his wife and kids, drives to work at an Air Force base in Nevada, sits behind a console, and blows people to bits 8,000 miles away, packs up, goes home at 5 o'clock, and has dinner with the kids. That's the closest thing to the compartmentalization of the Nazis that I've seen in history. This is a sick, crazy, detached, violent country. It always has been. Maybe it always will be. These people are isolated, dissociated, brainwashed morons. They happen to vote. People are saying, you know, there's copycats. You know, people kill people all the time. Yeah, you know what? If the president of the country, who's the father of the country, right, kills people, he has a kill list. He can kill whoever he wants. He can blow people up all over the place, and he does. They don't even have to be guilty. They just have to be near somebody who's guilty. If the president of the United States has a kill list, what's the difference if you kill people too? Daddy's doing it. This is a sick, crazy country. And it's not just a lone gunman who did this in Colorado. It's us. We killed those people. We need to wake up.
That was Mike Fader, The Turning Point, Progressive Radio Network. Randy Newman and Cyber's End Sound Engine on Music and The Beatles. This has been a leisure service of the Pacifica Radio Network. All previous Innerside Radio programs are archived. Simply Google The Innerside at your own risk. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep dancing in my head.